Scripture says that God our Savior desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. But what is the truth? And how do we gain that knowledge? The answer to these questions and more in today's edition of Faith with Father. Living Bread Radio presents Faith with Father, a program aimed at teaching today's culture the truth about the Catholic faith. And now here's your host, Tim Perry.
Hello, and welcome to this edition of Faith with Father. I'm your host, Tim Perry, and with me today in studio is Father Greg Maturi, currently the pastor of St. Dominic's Parish in Youngstown. Welcome, Father.
Thanks for having me, Tim.
It's great to see you again. We're going through the UCAT, the Youth Catechism of the Catholic Church, and what we believe as Catholics, and we're talking about the Ten Commandments, and we've been discussing the Sixth Commandment, Thou Shalt Not Commit Adultery. And today we're going to start with question 412 of the UCAT. Why is the production and consumption of pornography a sin against charity?
Exactly. You know, probably one of the biggest problems in our culture right now is pornography. It's, in the modern technological age, it's so easy to procure kids are looking at pornography at very young ages. And in fact, participating in pornography at very young ages. It's sad the way that something good like technology can be used for bad. But that's the way things are, you know, in our fallen world. Ever since the sin of Adam and Eve, the good things that God has created are frequently used for bad. And pornography is an example where the good of human sexuality, the good of sexual intercourse, which is good. Human sexuality is good. Sexual intercourse is good. The pleasure of sexual intercourse is good. Everything about sexual intercourse is good. But pornography is one of those instances where something good is used for bad. And so pornography, again, falls short of the good of human sexuality. It falls short of that intimate commitment of marriage. You know, the notion of commitment is integrally part of love. Love cannot exist without commitment. And especially a love that includes sexual intercourse requires the commitment of marriage for a number of reasons. Because of the extreme intimacy of the act of sexual intercourse, because of where children come from. Pornography trains us to think about human sexuality and love as completely separate from commitment.
Good point. And the people watching it as well as participating in it, their human dignity just drops quite a bit.
The church is all about reality. We're all about, the church is about, we have to face reality. Everything that's real is good. Why? Because God created reality. And everything he created is good. But since the fall of Adam and Eve, the human race has been disposed to falsehood and illusion, to things that aren't real. And pornography is one of those things that lead us into to accept falsehood and what is unreal.
Okay. Question 414 asks, what does the church say about using condoms to fight AIDS?
Yeah, that's an excellent point. You know, here's another good point I'd like to say. Morality, the moral life, which is all about love and happiness, human happiness, the moral life consists not in the end, but in the means to the end. So, for example, two people want a car. They both have the same end. They want a car. One person gets a job, earns money, and buys it. The other person goes out and steals it. They both have the same end of getting a car. But it's the means they chose to procure the car that is the moral issue. And with regards to AIDS, look, we all want to eradicate AIDS. We don't want anybody to suffer from AIDS. Mm-hmm. We want to stop the spread of AIDS. But it's the means that we choose to do that. That's the question. Is the use of condom a moral means to a good end? And the answer is no, it's not. Why? Why is condom use contrary, or why does use of condoms always fall short of the good of human sexuality? Because it makes what is inherently an act of total self-giving one of selfish using of the other person.
Good point.
So, again, love is about self-sacrifice, giving oneself to another, putting one's sacrificing oneself, putting oneself at the service of another. Condom use is about meeting my own selfish pleasures and about not giving myself to another person, but rather using them for my selfish pleasure.
Well said, Father. Question 415 asks, what is the church's judgment on homosexuality?
Yeah. It's interesting the way they... I kind of take issue with the way the question's worded. First of all, we're not talking about the church's opinion here. We're talking about what's real, what is true. Secondly, the church doesn't make judgments on anybody. This is not about judging people. This is not about the church judging people who engage in homosexual acts. Mm-hmm. It's about asking the question as two human persons engaged in conversation, what is the good of human sexuality? In other words, how do I engage in sexual relations in such a way that I may attain the good of human sexuality? And when one thinks about it clearly, the answer is clear that homosexual acts always fall short of the good of human sexuality. And we're going to talk in later questions about what the good, in the next question, about what the goods of human sexuality are. But you can see that homosexual, once we discuss that, you'll see that, well, that makes sense. Homosexual acts do not, or they do fall short of the good of human sexuality.
Okay. So again, the next question, 416 asks, what are the essential elements of a Christian marriage?
Yes, exactly. Now, when we talk about in 416 about the essential elements, what we're talking about are the goods of human sexuality. You see, because what marks marriage in particular is human sexuality. And so when we ask about the essential elements of marriage, we're asking about the good. We're really asking about what is the good of human sexuality? I mean, what are the goods associated with human sexuality for the fullness of human sexuality? And they are the unity of the couple, the indissolubility of the union, the openness to children, and the commitment of the spouses to each other. And that's why, and really, then human sexuality only makes sense within the context of marriage. Because only in the context of marriage is the good of human sexuality realized, of the human sexual intercourse fully realized.
Which would explain why homosexuality is a major sin, because it falls outside of what is a good Christian marriage.
Yeah. Now, homosexual acts are not the worst sins. It is a sin because homosexuality is disordered insofar as it falls short of the good of human sexuality. And one can talk about human sexuality and think of many aspects that are part of the good of sexuality. In addition to the four that we mentioned, one may think of pleasure. Part of the good of human sexuality is pleasure. Part of the good of human sexuality is the release of tension. So in addition to the four that we just mentioned, mm-hmm. In the catechism. But what one has to admit, if one thinks about it, that homosexual acts are in fact not in accord with the whole notion of sexuality in the first place. Sexuality has to do with the fact that God created man, the human race, as man and woman. And you have to ask the question, well, why did God create the human race, man and woman? See, that these are questions we have to answer.
Why aren't we all the same?
Look, if it's simply about having a helpmate, a partner, then it would have made more sense to make two men or two women. But the purpose of making the bifurcation of the human race, the purpose of male and female, has to do with the fact of human sexuality. Something about human sexuality, something about the good of human sexuality, entails that there's a man and a woman. I mean, that just seems to make sense. And I think,
well, their bodies are complementary to one another, for one thing.
Well, they're complementary, but in addition, they're different. Men and women are different, both biologically and as a result of the biology, also psychologically. Men and women are different. And human sexuality requires those differences.
Good point. Question 418 asks, what is the significance of the child in a marriage?
St. Augustine talked about it as the fruit, you know, a supreme fruit of the marriage is children, is the bearing and raising of children. Why? Because, you know, there's something about children that allows spouses to come closer together. They learn more about each other. A child really can bring a husband and wife together in a bond. It can really strengthen their bond of love. And so, children is very much a part of the good of human sexuality insofar as it serves the strengthening of love. I mean, love, raising children is tough, very difficult.
But I like what the Catechism says. They said that a child is a gift of God. And so often, our society does not view children as a gift, more of a burden or a problem of some kind.
Well, that's exactly, you know, raising children is tough. It's very difficult. And it is burdensome. And it requires a lot of sacrifice. You know, it requires all that love is all about.
A lot of love. It requires a lot of love.
But at the same time, it's a gift from God. It allows us who are made in His image and likeness to be like Him and create new life. And so having children in many ways makes us like God.
Well said, Father. We've been listening to Father Greg Maturi, and we've been going through the Sixth Commandment, Thou Shalt Not Commit Adultery, and the UCAT, the Youth Catechism of the Catholic Church. This has been Tim Perry, your host for Faith with Father. Until next time, may God bless you. Bye for now.
This has been Faith with Father, a production of Living Bread Radio in Canton, Ohio. For an audio archive of this program, log on to livingbreadradio.com and click on Faith with Father. If you have a question or comment about today's program, email us at askfather@livingbreadradio.com. And join us again next time for another edition of Faith with Father.